This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, September 20th, brought to you by Robo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Port rule on the missions raises alarms. Ways and Means Chief talks trade, tax policy, and Vilsack calls out Bozeman. Ag groups raise red flags over air quality rules for ports. A regional air district is considering a new regulation to reduce emissions at the ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles. Several ag groups have locked arms against a proposal with truckers, unions, and a range of businesses. In a letter to the mayors of the respective cities, the coalition warned the proposed rule would strangle the goods movement industry, damage the regional economy, and eliminate port jobs. They viewed it as a way to, quote, punish the supply chain for doing business in Southern California and argued it would drive cargo away from the state. They urged the cities to focus instead on building the infrastructure needed to reach the state's zero emission goals. The industry, they reason, can only invest in the energy transition if it remains healthy and is not burdened by a port rule. And on that note, Republicans in the legislature have joined the call in urging U.S. EPA to reject California's waiver request for its Advanced Clean Fleets rule. In a letter to the EPA Administrator Michael Regan, the lawmakers pointed to two recent fires involving electric trucks. They worried about the safety risk to motorists with the scaling up the emerging technology. Key Republican defends Trump. Biden-Harris out to lunch on trade. The chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Jason Smith, our guest on AgriPulse Newsmakers this week. He talks about the tax issues facing Congress next year and the differences between former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris when it comes to trade as well as tax policy. Farm groups are concerned about Trump's threat to increase tariffs on U.S. trading partners. Smith says Trump was very aggressive as president in trying to open new markets for U.S. ag products and would be during a second term as well. We have an administration that is out to lunch, that is not openly trying to open up more markets for our farmers and our manufacturers, said Smith, the Missouri Republican. Smith also talks about the expiring provisions of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and pushes back on Harris' pledge not to increase taxes on Americans making less than $400,000 a year. Harris hasn't come up with a way to do that, Smith says. The Smith interview, plus a discussion of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act with two tax policy experts, available today at AgriPulse.com. Vilsack calls Bozeman comments on the CCC ironic. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack needling Senator John Bozeman of Arkansas, the ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee, for comments the senator made this week praising previous Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue's use of the Commodity Credit Corporation. During floor remarks calling for emergency assistance to farmers this year, Bozeman said, quote, "We have seen previous ad hoc assistance programs established in a period of weeks, as demonstrated by then-Secretary Sonny Perdue, when the COVID-19 pandemic created disruptions for producers. That level of timely and urgent response by Congress and the administration is once again warranted." Vilsack told reporters, quote, "I'm sure the senator knows this, but just a reminder, the reason why Secretary Perdue tapped the Commodity Credit Corporation and literally drained it, which forced Congress to replenish the money, was because of the tariffs that were assessed by the previous administration that caused a collapse in farm income. It's a bit ironic, but on one hand, they want to restrain the ability of a secretary to utilize the resources for certain circumstances and situations that arise, while at the same time touting the utilization of a rather substantial investment made from CCC," Vilsack said. He's referring to Republican proposals to limit the Ag Secretary's authority to use the CCC. Now, Republicans argue that Vilsack misused the CCC and tapping it to fund the $3 billion Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities initiative. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Robo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Lawmakers, wine wholesalers, both asking for more time in organic certification rule. A bipartisan group of lawmakers has joined the Wine and Spirits Wholesalers of America in asking USDA's National Organic Program to further extend its grace period for an organic certification rule to prevent interruptions in the international commerce of wine and spirits. The strengthening organic enforcement rule went into effect in March and requires importers of organic wine and spirits to obtain certification through a USDA-accredited certifier. Many of these importers were previously exempted from certification prior to the rule and are now facing a long wait list, lawmakers wrote in a letter to the NOP. NOP allowed for a grace period until September 19th for importers in the process of obtaining certification. However, certifiers have a backlog of over 4 months, the lawmakers say in the letter. They want NOP to extend the grace period another 120 days. Rural economic conditions worsening, according to Creighton's survey. Weak agriculture commodity prices, high input costs, and falling agricultural equipment sales. They've pushed one survey's rural economic readings to the lowest level seen since the pandemic. Creighton's Rural Main Street Index, an analysis of rural economic conditions based on a 10-state survey of bank CEOs, sank to 37.5 in September. Of course, it was 40.9 in August. This is the lowest reading seen in the index. It ranges between 0 and 100, and 50 represents a growth-neutral rural economy. That's the lowest since the spring of 2020. Also, bank CEOs surveyed expect farmland prices to drop by 5.3% over the next 12 months. Of greater concern, Ernie Goss, the economist at Creighton University, said, is approximately one-fourth of bankers anticipate a 10 to 20% downturn in farmland prices over the next year. Well, here's today's final word. We do not anticipate this request to impact the project's construction schedule. That site's project authority, which provided assurances this week that the process for approving the reservoir proposal is going as planned, that despite the State Water Board denying its permit application. The authority described the action as a simple formality as it navigates bureaucratic red tape. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, September 20th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Alley.